Welcome back to the Talos of Tech Podcast Series 3!
We're finally back!
We're so happy! We were gone for so long. So much has happened.
We also forgot how to not so talk over each other.
Nick, it was so nice of you to dress up as a cheerleader today. Wasn't expecting that, but
yes,
you do look amazing. Absolutely. Sorry the podcast listeners can't see this, but it's incredible. So we have a lot to catch up on. Mm. Yeah, it's an inside treat, absolutely. This podcast is an inside treat, honestly. Yeah.
Yes, even
if we don't like get this up in time and we lose all the audio files, I just enjoy chatting with you both. So we have so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
Hard say. We have iPhone event. It's been confirmed by Apple just around the corner. All of us, I think we all agreed on the Apple card. And now that it's out, we can all talk about it together as a group.
Yes.
And we have a recent kind of somewhat political topic. We won't go deep into politics, but there's an import tariff being applied to Apple products today that we wanted to discuss. So where do you guys want to start?
Let's start with the iPhone event.
No. Because we can go down there for a hot second. Let's talk about what's already out. Let's do the Apple card because it's tangible, it's real.
That's
and
true.
More concrete.
It's old news.
And you just
want
to flex, Drew. We can tell. That's true.
And you more than anyone should understand that. As the one out of the three of us with the metal card for the longest.
Brady has a metal card.
I do. It's not titanium. The first metal card I ever got was the Amazon Prime one, and then my Chase Sapphire. But they just not reserve. I have the preferred. I will be upgrading to the reserve next month. But
is it made of sapphire?
Oh God, I wish. Wouldn't that be awesome? No.
When it's you just throw it down on a table, it just shatters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we break the glass ceiling.
These cards, even though they're metal, they're not the thickest metal like a titanium card or whatever platinum uses and stuff like that. So I do have metal cards, but it's not the same as like what Ann Sweeney has been carrying around, flexing for all these years. And now Drew has a dog in this fight.
Yeah. Why don't they just drill a hole in the top of the credit card and let you wear it like a necklace?
Like a dog tag.
So you can just, yeah. There you go. Just all your different credit cards on one. And it would be even more like a video game because if someone got shot, you just take all the credit cards off. You rip the tags off.
You see a bunch of revives on the map. Like.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Chinese history, they actually punched holes in coins, and people would wear their coins as necklaces.
We need to bring that back.
I can actually...
That was a good idea.
I can confirm that, because when I was in Japan... I took one of the yens that I got. There's a tradition about... I wonder if we have any Japanese listeners that are Japanese-American.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably.
Five yen, I guess. It's a small gold coin. It's considered to be a lucky coin. And I won't go too far into it because this is really off subject. But long story short,
this is technology.
No, this is just current. Anyway, I took that and I put it on my dog tag. And to this day, I actually have the 5 yen on my dog tags because I felt like it kept me safe later on in life and stuff like that. So it has a luck. There's a tradition to it. So just out of tradition and respecting the country, I followed.
That's
I
cool.
tried it out. I was like, oh, that's cool. So that is
that's
true.
Nice.
So if we could do that with our credit cards, segueing back, it would be funny. We should make a video about that. Because I like the idea of somebody getting shot down. Like, Drew, let's make a gaming video. Gaming Taylor. What channel would that go on? Would it go on the gaming channel or would it go on the Taylor? I'd probably go on Taylor.
I can't decide. This is the trouble with the Talos of Network. Sometimes you have overlapping style videos. You're not really sure which way to go with it. But did you get the Apple card, Randy? I haven't heard from you.
Negative. Not yet. And I'll tell you why. Literally maybe 3 days ago paid off my complete remaining balance on my Sapphire card for the Tesla.
Oh, got you.
And I'm waiting for it to hit my credit report before I apply for it because I want to get a higher credit line and a lower interest. If I apply right now, I know I'll get approved, but I might only get a little bit and I'll probably get a higher interest rate. At the end of the day, I really don't care about the interest rate because I'm not going to have a balance on it. But I don't know if if that will always, like, what if I have a situation like what I do with the card, and I'll keep it for a month or two if I don't want to pay for an interest if I don't have to. It makes it just gives me warm and fuzzies, and realistically too, it does.
Warm I love and fuzzies. That expression.
It does give me warm and fuzzies.
It gives me warm and fuzzies.
I'm also in the process
of... get a really cute picture of Randy with the caption, when your APR interest rate is low on the Apple Card.
Warm and fuzzies.
Warm and fuzzies.
And then also...
It feels so much better.
If I apply for a card right now and I get approved, that actually might screw up my whole escrow process while they're validating all our credit lines and stuff like that.
Oh,
I was told gotcha. To wait, okay. And I was like, okay. So I purposely am just like positioning myself to once we are out of escrow and we officially close, then I can just, you know, start going crazy because I want to get the credit before the mortgage is on my credit line because I'm going to take a hit for that and I probably won't get approved for anything for some time. So the Apple credit card will be my last credit card for at least the next year minimum.
Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah. Nick, I know we texted about it briefly, and anytime we try to talk about it, you're like, save it for the podcast. So I was going to ask you, after you saw my Apple Card is Misunderstood video, what you thought of what I said in that.
Well, that was a steaming hot pile of 25 minutes.
Wow.
No. I jest.
I thought you were sure.
It's
Yeah.
How does one summarize thoughts on something that completely goes against everything you've come to understand about credit cards? I don't know. this is my best try here.
Okay.
The Apple Card is the world's simplest credit card.
Yes. I will give I agree that, with you.
Hands down, simplest credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's like a good Johnny thing and a bad thing. Exactly. If you are
Johnny, I've made a credit card. It's a solid white.
The simplicity. Yes.
Yeah.
Scratches on denim.
There was no aluminium involved in this making of the credit card.
All titanium.
Did you follow the leather wallet damages the credit card thing at all?
Yes, sir.
Because that was hilarious to me because I saw so many people getting upset without acknowledging the fact that any wallet with cheaply made leather can damage any number of credit cards, including the Apple card.
Including the American Express Platinum card. That's why credit cards typically have designs on them. Because the designs helps mask the scuffs. Because anytime you slide it through a terminal, whether you're swiping it or sticking it into the chip reader, it's going to scratch. It's going to metal and plastic and dirt and grime.
Right.
And it's going to get messed up. And that's why they have designs. Yeah. You know, the Amex cards, they always have this little waveform in the back, which is real faint gray. But it you know, it helps mask all the little dents and scratches that arise.
For you oldies who are using leather wallets.
Ew.
And have not moved on to
have we talked about our sponsor, the Ridge Wallet?
they did send me this.
Did they?
But I can't say they're a sponsor of the podcast. No, I didn't buy this wallet. They contacted me and this was a long time ago. This was like 2017, I think. So it's been a while. Shout out to Ridge, even though you're not sponsoring this podcast. Hey, you should. Maybe I'll say bad things about it until they sponsor.
Hey, no. Ridge. I, Randy Vasquez, and Nick and Sweeney would love to try out this minimalistic wallet that
it's
Drew
very
looks
simple.
So happy about. If you make us a sponsor and all that fun stuff, I want to try it out. Because, look, Viper's been all hyped about it for a hot minute, and then I saw John Rettinger talk about it. I think John has one too, Prosser. I think all you guys are
they're
slowly
like the
getting
wallet
it.
Of the tech community.
I know. I feel so left out.
And my Apple Card has been perfectly fine aesthetics wise. I haven't received damage or scratches.
Yet.
No, I've been every time I show it to someone, I do exactly what I did for you, Nick.
There it is. The ugly white piece of plastic.
It's not
ugly.
I will tell you, I went to we took our car to a mechanic recently to get it worked on because our car runs on gasoline, which for those of you who don't know, comes from dinosaurs.
wait.
I'll explain this to Randy later.
Gasoline? Is this some poor joke? I'm too rich to understand.
There's this thing called an engine on the inside. The car runs off of explosions. Anyway,
never
I handed the
her.
Card
what?
To the mechanic who has super oily, greasy hands. You know,
yeah.
Standard car mechanic. He grabs it and he looks at it and he didn't know what it was. he asked if He was like, I need a credit card. And I was like, that's a credit card. And I was like, oh, I thought this was your name tag of some kind. And then last night, we went out to a very fancy Chinese place, and we handed them the card, and the lady thought I worked at Apple, which was a flattering misconception. I handed it to her, and she was like, do you work for Apple? Is this like a special exclusive access?
You handed it to her. She goes, that's great, sir. I'm going to need cash or credit. That's great, sir. I didn't ask where you work. I don't care.
I see. You work for Apple. Now. Very nice.
Great, great.
Oh, what I was getting at with the
1099, sir.
You're very impressive. What I was getting at with the mechanic is when I got the card back, it had obviously oil and, you know, it was smudged all over. So if I was any other tech YouTuber on the platform, I would have gone to Twitter and said, look at how horrible this. I am so upset. This looks so disgusting. I'm so angry. How could have Apple? But because I'm Talos of Tech, I took my
sheep
and I swiped it off like this.
Can I see?
And then it was clean afterwards. It was perfectly fine.
Dude, that looks so clean just in general. This is so cool.
It's nothing. So the thing is, that's what so cool. People fail to understand is, for one, it's primarily a card you use with Apple Pay anyway, so it's not like the titanium comes out too often. For two, this isn't an aesthetic like the iPhone or the iPad where you're looking at it for long periods of time. This is something that stays in your wallet for 99% of its life,
right.
unless we do the dog tag idea where we dangle it. But aside from that, this thing, you're not looking at it. You're not staring at it too often. And even if you get to the point where like it has scratches on it, or you marked it up, or your cheap leather wallet marked it up, and you want it to look better, you can request a new one at no additional cost. It's just within the wallet app. You can just say, request a new card.
That's so cool.
And I thought it was the biggest like classic over-the-top Apple hate I'd ever seen, for people complaining about something they give out for free and will replace for free at any time.
And it would be weird if they didn't, because every other credit card you can replace. So it's just so you have to pay for it. Hey, Drew, I don't mean to poke at you, but I have to, just because I feel like Nick is being singled out here. So I'm just going to poke at you for a second to balance it. Hey, Nick, remember that time when Drew thought you had to pay extra for the credit card?
I was literally going to bring that up.
I was about to. That's funny. Because, anyway, before we do all that, I just want to say, I had a joke, and I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it on track. Okay. The card is titanium, yes?
Yes.
Every time I have to pull it out, I'm going to, with Apple Play, or Apple, what the hell? Not Apple Play. What's it called? Apple Music. Apple Music. I'm going to play CS Titanium. I am Titanium. And I'll be like, yeah, that's my ultimate.
Oh, my God. Why has no one done that yet?
Idea.
I see a new Saturday short coming up.
You got a TM that, Randy. You're not the only one to think of an Apple Card Saturday short, Nick. I've been working on that as well.
Well, that's my. I figured if I can be extra in every outlet of my life,
you can be extra.
I am extra.
What if it came out of the little Apple Watch speakers whenever you use the Apple card?
Whenever I swipe it, I am titanium.
That would be fantastic. But yeah, I've seen a ton of people apply for it, and a lot of people who have it have been enjoying it. At least I haven't. The only people complaining about it so far are people who don't get it, or people who have an Android and are mad that it's only available on iPhone.
Or if your name's Dan Sweeney. Hey,
I get it.
Listen.
And Sweeney's, the Amex Platinum users, are the people in the middle. They're the ones that are like, Nick luckily has come around. I mean, he'll still say Apple Card sucks on occasion, but for the most part, it sucks because, but then when we have a legit conversation, you're always like, it's fine. It's just my card is better, and I want to keep using this card.
Well, I get it. You pay, you know, a lot of money for the perks, but what's interesting is how Apple can randomly, and I didn't even think about it. This makes so much sense, and a lot of banks don't do this, but if Apple's trying to change it, I get it. They just randomly said, okay, now you can have Uber Eats, and you get 2%
back. Yeah.
Like, they can always add perks to it. And it increases the value of it if you're a points guy, in the sense that, like, oh, here, you get 2% back. Granted, points and cash, there is an argument to be made about cash back and points if you can transfer points and compound. And then you start getting more intricate into it, and I agree that that's not what the Apple Card is meant for. And
It was like Nick said, it was the most simple credit card of all time.
They never marketed themselves to be the points guy, but I do believe and trust that all the executives up there have those types of credit cards, and I'm sure we are, like we talked about, you know, earlier this year, an Apple Gold and an Apple, like there'll be different, a black higher card tiers. Maybe there for sure. That'd be really cool to see.
I will maintain this. If Apple comes out with a tier 3 or tier 4 credit card, I will be all over that. I wouldn't be getting a tier 5.
Well, that's not up to you.
You're right.
You apply for the card, and if you're good enough, they'll just send it to you without warning. They're just like, here you go. Apple Tim Cook plan.
Did you get to put your... choose your display name on the credit card or no?
It goes off of the name, your legal name. So, no, that's not a nickname.
I'm gonna see what I
remember of the application process, which I did in a mere 3 minutes on a plane. I blew through it really quickly because there was a split second when I was in the Philippines and we connected to public Wi-Fi, but it didn't work very well. And I just loaded Twitter for like a second and it updated and I caught up with all these tweets and I just saw Apple Card launches and I got the email
that
said,
anxious flight.
You've been invited. And I was like, it's happening. So I saw everything and I read as much as I could and all that. But so when I got back, I applied for it as quickly as I could. But from what I remember, they required to see ID. They needed to look at my driver's license. And when I did that, they were like, the name you give us has to match that. And that's an important thing for companies that you use their credit card with, because oftentimes, bizarrely, I don't know why some companies do it, but some companies don't. Where were we? We were shopping. So I think it was TJ Maxx. Okay. We were at TJ Maxx, and I was like, I want to use my credit card. And I wanted to use Apple Pay because they supported it. But then when I did it, they were like, can I see your ID? And we want to make sure the name on the credit card matches your ID, even though I was paying with the phone. So
it was probably more the clerk not knowing how the thing works.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because I was like, I've never had to do this before. There was like 7 levels of authentication in that transaction.
Because it was the most secure purchase you have ever made.
I've never made a purchase more secure. They care about privacy at TJ Maxx, or that one clerk did. Because I double clicked the side button.
That one clerk is going to run the company
ID.
One day.
Face ID unlocks my digital card. Then they want to look at the physical card. So I show them the physical card. Then they want to look at the ID, make sure the name matches, and said, okay, you're good. And then I paid with Apple Pay. So it was like, it was the most confusing thing. But yeah, I've been in situations before. I think one time I was at an Apple store and I bought some stuff and they wanted to see the name on my ID and the credit card. I don't know if they do that occasionally or I don't know why.
So for my old accounting firm that I worked for, we kind of got to explore the back end of that from the business's perspective. When you process people's cards, so if you're Chipotle or whatever, and you're the one processing people's cards, you're at risk for fraudulent transactions. So if Drew, the customer, walks up to Apple, buys a $15,000 Mac Pro with the Pro Display XDR,
which would never happen. Yep,
exactly. And then 2 weeks later, you call up your bank and you say, "Hey, that was a fraudulent charge." The bank is not going to pay Apple. They're going to pull the money from Apple. So it's going to be Apple holding the short end of the stick if there's a fraudulent transaction. So that's why with high dollar value items, you'll see a little bit more, typically it just goes store by store. You know, one company might be fine with that risk and another company might not. You know, if you're going to spend $300 at Chipotle with like some catering thing, I'm sure they're going to want to see a little bit more verification. But if you spend $300 at the Apple store, they probably won't care as much.
Okay. So it's kind of a credit card version of 2FA in a way.
I have I have a story that where it they should have verified and they didn't. Was a victim of credit card theft many years ago.
Ooh.
And I was over at do you guys know Witch Witch? Do you know that place?
It's yes, like, Witch Witch.
Yeah, it's like a
sandwich shop.
It's a sandwich shop that has almost like the Chipotle. Well, they all have the kind of the same, but it's a different type of Subway. You can get really creative with it. Anyway, I was at
Subway
Witch Witch.
For rich people.
That's what it is. Yes, sir. So I am at I'm at Witch Witch, and I with my monocle, and I'm saying.
drove up in your Tesla.
And I drove up in my Tesla, and this was before Tesla. Anyway, so I swiped my card, and the out-the-door price was like $9 or something, and so I swiped, and my card got declined. I'm like, what? And it was a debit card, and so like, yes. And I go, uh-oh, what's that about? And then immediately I get a phone call from my bank saying, hey, question. Are you in Phoenix right now? And I'm like, no. They're like, okay, so you are in San Diego and you try to buy a sandwich right now? And I'm like, oh, this is weird. Yeah. And they're like, okay. They're like, so Mr. Vasquez, we, somebody just made a $2,500 purchase on your card, at a Best Buy about 3 minutes ago. And, they were ready out the door. I go, wait,
in
what?
Phoenix.
In Phoenix. So okay. They credit me the money as they opened the investigation, and Best Buy looked at their footage. Somebody took my card information, made a duplicate, and bought themselves a very nice iMac over at Best Buy, according to the surveillance of it. And so they made a way.
Man, I didn't think that anyone would find out what I did that day.
I was about to make that joke. I was like, I think it was Nick, man.
It was Nick.
Just
as
kidding.
As he frequently likes to make his trips down to the hottest city in the country. Anyway,
and go
so,
to Best Buy nonetheless.
Yeah, so and Best Buy of all places. So moral of the story is after that I started getting like RFID protection reader and all that. Like I upped my security. I actually changed I used to be a little bit more careless with certain stuff. I went over to credit card for the additional insurance for it. And even though they credited me the money.
That was a debit card that got stolen, wasn't it?
The debit card got stolen.
Ooh,
and wow.
And they still refunded you?
Yes, because it's USAA and they're very okay. User friendly or like member friendly and stuff like that.
Our second sponsor of today's podcast.
Unless you're a service member, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
but to my point, actually, why I also like credit cards more than debit cards is because of the added security. I know for a fact if I was using any of my Chase card or Wells Fargo, I would not have got reimbursed it. And they told me during the investigation that like, okay, yeah, so Best Buy on the hook for the money, and we're gonna have to, you know, what Nick is basically getting at with this is that like I was like, am I liable for this? And they're like, no, you're covered for $250,000 because of fraud, and FDIC. Best Buy is just they're gonna lose money. They should have verified it, and I'm sure they are probably changing their policies with it, but it is circumstantial to security on certain places on when they want to look at your ID. But never in my life have I heard anybody want to look at ID for Apple Pay, because that is like the most secure. For Apple Pay itself, it's very, very secure.
You have to steal a lot of things to get someone's Apple Pay,
like their face.
yeah. Well,
you'd
okay.
have to get their face or their passcode and their phone.
Yeah.
So here's. But okay, so like us techies, we know that Apple Pay is the most secure method of payment. But I was at a grocery store a couple weeks ago here in Missouri, and there's a self checkout lane.
Missouri.
And that self checkout lane, yes, it's Missouri. Thank you, Randy. I'm sorry.
Love you. Go ahead.
The self checkout lane had a contactless logo on the little payment thing. Like the, you know, where you stick your card in. Yep. And so I took, I bought, you know, some groceries, you know, 20 or 30 things or whatever, like 3 bags. And I picked up the bags, double tapped my Apple Watch, held it up to the reader, heard the little da-ding, and like I just walked right out the door. And the lady manning the checkout stand, you know, like, I don't know what store you guys go to, but like the store I was at, there was like one. Yes. person watching usually all the little self-checkout lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was giving me the side eye. Like, she totally was like, and then, yeah. So anyway, like, luckily I had the receipt, like the receipt printed out, but like, it
was that's what I was going to say. As long as you have that.
Yeah.
They can't
I know,
get mad.
But she was like, there's no way you just paid. I didn't see a card. I didn't see cash, you know.
Oh, I love doing that.
It was, well, I know, it's fun, but to most people, Apple Pay probably seems super insecure. They probably think, you know, if mm-hmm. I could grab your phone, then I could use your money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they have your face or passcode. In which case, they have a lot at that point. They have a lot more than your credit card.
They just need your passcode, right? Because,
yeah.
Wait.
But
wait,
it has to. It would bypass a few times because it defaults to Face ID, and if it fails,
but try then to you make a to purchase. Wait. And oh no, you can purchase on PIN.
Can you go into the wallet settings and say pay with passcode?
I don't know.
I know you used to do that, Drew, when you were using Touch ID sensors, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they had Apple Pay yet then.
Hmm.
Did they?
Let's see.
What did I can't even remember. Did Apple Pay launch with the 6S or the 6?
It's 6. It launched with the 6 and the Apple Watch.
Okay. Then I could have done it, I guess.
September 2014.
So basically, you would need someone's device and the passcode.
Yeah, pay with passcode.
Which is not likely.
So this is the prompt you get, pay with
passcode. I just did it on mine, but it's like a second prompt. It
just tried to read
right
your
away.
Guys' face right now, and then it told me no.
We don't look like Randy.
Yeah, look at what is this two-dimensional creature? Gross.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I love the fact that to use the Apple Card, it doesn't cost anything because I feel like I'm not required to redeem or get cash rewards back or points back to make up for that initial fee. Which is kind of relieving in my mind. It's like,
you're leaving a lot on the table making that decision.
What am I leaving?
I'm not going to say anything now because I'm afraid it's all going to fall apart. But
come on.
Ask me again in a month.
No. Come on.
Okay, fine.
I really all twisted right, his arm, so didn't I?
You were really easy to convince.
You did.
Like, that was way too much hype for you to go like, you know what? No, forget it. No, don't do that. Don't be that guy, Nick. Don't be that guy.
Well, I really do want to tell everyone. But
come on, I did look
if it doesn't work,
then
you've
it doesn't
been
work.
Warned. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know how Apple Card has the instant daily cash thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am really glad that I have been saving my American Express membership reward points.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I thought I was saving them for some kind of trip, like to go on a plane, you know, maybe first class to Europe or something. I didn't know what I was going to do with them, but I was going to do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on their app, and a couple days ago, I noticed that they're having a 25% off shop with points deal up until the 19th. Mm-hmm. And Apple is one of the vendors that gets 25% off when you shop with points.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the 25% off deal ends before I get the new phones come out on the 20th, probably, of September. So
that makes sense.
I have a dastardly plan that involves purchasing a XS Max with points at 25% off and then exchanging it for the new iPhone 11 Pro. After that is launched. So,
wait.
My hope is, no, hold on, let me finish. My hope is I will get a brand new iPhone 11 Pro, whatever one of the most expensive phones is, for
with
no
max
cash.
Storage.
I don't know. I'm not sold on max storage right now. I'm going
so
back
wait,
and forth.
Wait,
anyway,
wait.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You want to
Drew's
give...
mind is blown for the record.
No, it's not because there's a hole in your plan. You want to give the XS Max back to Apple for a refund?
No. So if you purchase a phone after the event, I've been at Apple stores where people have come in with like a, you know, 8 Plus or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, there's a 10 now? What's up with that? I thought I bought the newest phone. And they will actually do a swap or an exchange. As long as you're within that 2-week return policy window.
You know, you're the reason why they punish us for credit cards and stuff. And
No. I don't think they, if you bought
this
an 8
clever.
Plus, you could bring it back and get a 10 for free. That's not how it works.
Yeah, you can.
I disagree. I don't think that would work.
Why can't I just return it? And
they're not the same price.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm gonna make sure that it's the same price. I'm ordering the XS Max at, you know, whatever with AppleCare, and so it's gonna be, you know, $1,600 that I'll be paying with points, but it'll be 25% off that, so the points are a little more valuable. And then
so you'd be paying normal price for
or exchange it.
I'm excited to see how this works, Nick. I don't think it's going to work, but I don't.
I think it will. So because I understand that it's not free, because you know these are points that I've accumulated, you know, as I've spent money, mm-hmm. as part of my signing bonuses. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that this isn't a free phone, but it's cash phone.
No, I'm not saying the free thing. I'm just saying I don't think the trade-in thing works that easily.
Oh yes, it will.
I think they would consider it. Well, obviously, don't open it. Keep it in the box, yeah, right? No,
absolutely.
Okay. So even if you brought that back, I just don't believe they would give you a 10 if you had bought an 8 Plus.
Well, here's my thought.
Well, you'd have to pay the difference. You'd have to pay the difference, the price difference.
So what?
But my thing is, this year there's probably not going to be that much of a price difference. And if there is, then sure, I'll pay that.
Here's...
But okay. Drew, can we agree that you can return an iPhone within 14 days of purchasing it?
Yes. Yes, but that's just a refund. So what's the point?
Yes, then I get a refund, and then I buy the new one if I have to. I'd rather just swap it.
But you would get a refund you would get the refund with the 25%. They're not giving you full cash.
Yes. No, yeah, they would. They give me cash. I researched how their whole system works. No,
but Amex they would give you back exactly what you would have paid.
No.
Right.
No. No. No, no, no. I did research. There's a hole in their system, which is why I'm excited to exploit it.
God, I'm excited to hear
how this works.
this is going to get fixed before the release, Nick. Our podcast is too big now.
I'm just saying, I've tried things like this in the past, and they usually have...
Let's not put out this episode until after the keynote.
No, we can't. That's too long. We got to put this out. Yeah. And it also keeps people listening, because I want to see what happens. I want to see if this honestly works.
I'm just as curious, because I feel like...
Because honestly, and Sweeney, if that's how it worked, why don't you go buy a maxed out iMac Pro and then...
Because I don't have that many points. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the thing is, points are kind of an arbitrary value.
Yeah.
Typically, people say you should be getting 2 cents per point, but that's when you're redeeming business or first travel, mm-hmm. which is originally what I was going to do. Typically, especially with American Express, if you're going to redeem for cash, whether that's a statement credit or you know, buy with points, you're normally getting about half a cent per point. So mm-hmm. 0.5 cents per point mm-hmm. is typical cash redemption for an MR point. With this heist, I'm calling it the iPhone heist. It's going to be 0.66999 cents per point.
He has a sticky.
I have a sticky with my plan and everything, dude. I put like hours. I'm unemployed, so you
there's know, all this red string on the wall.
Yeah, I'm going to say behind him, you don't see all the photos. It all ties back to Tim Cook and Alex Jones somehow. Yeah. Epstein's in there somehow too. I don't know.
Oh my gosh!
This is a perfect heist.
So, how big of an Apple product can you buy? That's my question.
So it all depends on. So it's the entire Apple Store. I could buy Apple Pencil tip replacements for, you know, 1,000 MR points.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking the budget.
So my budget is 210,657 membership reward points.
That I don't care about points. I'm asking the dollar amount. What's the max?
What's the most expensive
thing you can buy at the Apple Store?
$1,405.08.
Oh, well, that's I guess that's about an iPhone price. Yeah. I was gonna say this. If it was that simple, though, then couldn't anybody with an Amex Platinum go out and buy super expensive thing and then get an instant refund?
It might not be platinum only, though, because I have the gold card, and so I'm digging around.
Look it up. It's a pay with points. So go to membership on the membership tab in the app, and then use your points or something. It's like the first option.
Yeah, I see.
And then shop with points, and then Apple's an option, and then you can scroll around all of the Apple products.
I just feel like Amex would see like record numbers of returns on products the case.
So Amex isn't handling it. Amex is just passing the order to Apple. Amex, uh-huh. So this is how it works. Amex will give me a statement credit of the value of the product that I bought and deduct the points from my account. Mm-hmm. So my membership rewards points will go down to 0 or 1,000 or how many I have left over. and then I will see a positive charge on my account for, you know, how much the phone's cash value is.
Wait, Nick. I have to interrupt. I don't think it's for the whole store. I think it's only for select items.
No, it's for the whole store.
Are you sure?
100%. Dude, I've spent over 9 hours looking at this.
Because it's not offering all the iPads. It's only saying Apple iPad. Apple Watch Series 4.
Turn your phone around. Let me see what you're looking at. There's 29 pages. Yeah, scroll down. There's 29 pages.
I can't scroll down. Anyway, I'm going to look into this offline.
Randy's like, ooh, free iPhone.
No. I'm going to fact check you because it's...
Okay. Yeah, please do.
I'm not trying to, you know, pop your bubble. I just want to make sure... And
to all those Amex users listening...
Yeah. Everyone.
Let's talk about the keynote. This is more. Yes. I'm more excited about the keynote than cheating the system.
Wait, I want to think if we're done talking about the whole reason I brought up the platinum thing is for one, when you said I'm leaving a lot on the table, that's not true at all. If I signed up for it right now, it'd be $500. That's so that I could save
$550
so that I could save how much on the next iPhone?
It's not. That's not why I got the card, buddy.
I know, but you were telling me directly.
I got $2,100 of expected value back on the card in the first year.
That's great for you, but my argument was I don't like the idea of paying annually for a credit card because then
it's fine.
Obligated.
That means the world's simplest credit card is perfect for you.
But I know it is.
I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying you're leaving stuff on the table.
I don't have 2,000 points or whatever racked up in Amex, so I'm not leaving anything on the table.
Well, it took me a year and a half to get that many points and 2 signing bonuses.
Right, so and that would have taken me...
And I hadn't spent a single point.
500...
Well, I guess, no, that's not true. I did take one trip with points, but yeah.
Well, I did look at I did a bunch of research on credit cards before I did the Apple Card video, and I looked at all the different rewards, because everyone kept telling me the rewards
sucked.
Well,
you're looking at tier 2s, but yeah.
No, I was looking at the platinum and the gold as well.
Okay.
I looked at all the tier 3 and tier 4s, and I was like, all of these are dependent on your lifestyles. All of these are dependent on your spending habits. None of it really comes down to objectively good or bad. And when I looked at the Amex Platinum, I was like, this would be horrible. I would not get anything out of this because...
Well, you don't travel. You don't like traveling.
No. Well, I can't. It's a traveler's card. With my job, I can't take that much time off, and I have a car, so I would never use Uber. And I travel in a plane maybe twice a year. And usually someone else buys the tickets whenever I do that. It's either, this year was the Philippines, which we plan on doing like once a decade or less. and we didn't even pay for those tickets. My wife's family paid for those because they wanted us to come out. And we were like, it's expensive. And they said, well, we'll cover it. So like for me, in my spending habits, that makes very little sense. But even if what I'm trying to say is that the whole loop back around to the Apple Card subject was that if Apple launched a tier 3 or tier 4 credit card, I don't think even the Apple sheep would get it just because I like the idea that even if it's a low reward card, it's a low risk card because I'm not obligated to get those points or rewards back.
Drew.
As I said, it is the simplest card. It is perfect for you.
Can I just say that I am so proud of how you've grown as a person, Mr. Erickson? Wait.
What?
This time last year, homeboy would throw stupid money at stupid things, just like, oh yeah, I'll just make it. I'll get that money back next month. He was living in the now about buying products, and he's like, try it out, do this. And that.
True.
And since then, and I have to credit, you know, Mrs. Erickson, in the process.
That's about 95% my wife.
Like, I've seen how you've changed your thought process on return on investment on even what you would consider where you're buying, even for your own business. Like, you're like, I don't know if that would be a smart business move. And it's interesting because Drew, 2018 Drew in August, would have bought every credit card or paid the membership at least for a year just to demo it and see. And now it's different. I could see why you acknowledge the fact that, like, I don't travel. I don't do this. I don't do that. So the Platinum, I admit, might be a good card, just not a good card for me. And I can see the argument being made that, like, you're not leaving anything on the table because you would have never had those opportunities for you to rack up maybe that much amount of money to hit the spin limit.
That's the nervousness I would have when I looked at all these other credit cards that have annual fees. It's like the second I sign up for that, I would have instant like, okay, how do I get these rewards back? How do I get these points? Like, how do I redeem these so that I can warrant that expense? And that's like, I've had long conversations with my wife about this because I was like, those cards are mind games. Yeah. That's what they are, because they convince you of how to redeem, and that's how they can know where you're going to spend. Because they know, hey, if you're flying for free, you probably don't care if you have to pay for a meal at the airport or pay for something on the trip or pay for a hotel. So they can steer you in certain directions.
Yeah,
that's right. And for someone who travels
Dave
a lot,
Ramsey.
No, I honestly, not that much. That man's been the cause of a lot of our marital arguments. You guys think, oh, Drew's so financially smart, but then Tesla enters the equation and all that goes out the window. It all falls apart again.
Hey, we all have our vices.
Yeah.
We do. That's one of them.
I like hearing both of you guys' sides, because from my point of view, like very literally looking at the iPad, I got Drew on my left, I got Nick on my right, and I am, in my mind, in the middle, because I don't... I travel frequently now, but they're not business travels all the time. Like this year, 80% of it was personal travel. So I don't see the benefits in some aspects of just keeping a cash back card. But at the same time, I don't like going out all the time and needing a membership, like annual fee card, a tier 3 to tier 4, all the time. And that's what has kept me from getting a platinum or getting that Sapphire Reserve or getting the City Prestige, and any of those really high-end cards that I acknowledge are great benefits. I hear you, Drew. I would find myself spending more to live that lifestyle that right now is not me. I can see myself going one way or the other. Nick loves traveling, and more power to you, bro. Yes. Like,
if you're
I'm
in misery,
yeah, exactly. Oh, but when you're in the greatest city in the country, Sandy, it's hard to travel. I'm just kidding. But,
it's a spectacle.
Yeah, again, I was at Witch with my monocle, and I'm just like, okay, look at that. So
with your monocle. I'm actually super grateful that Nick and I have something we don't like completely line up with. That was a relief, because
that is true.
that's true, because you know, in the early days of the podcast, it may have felt like Nick would just say anything to agree with Drew, but now because Apple went into the credit card business, we're diversifying and we're finding more subjects.
Nick has told me many times, he goes, I am an Amex sheep time and time again, and there is nothing Drew can say to change my mind. And Nick makes great arguments, but for go ahead.
Sorry, it sounds like you're going to close up our credit card discussion. I have one more thing to say. But, Drew, you'd mentioned that credit cards steer your spending, and I totally agree with that, 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to get like the saver card, you know, you're going to be spending more on dining.
Or
if
Amazon.
You're going to get the platinum, that's a traveler's card. You're going to be spending more on traveling.
Right.
If you're just going to go the Apple card and straight cash back, I kind of feel like you pick whatever card matches your spending the best.
Exactly. Right? Yes.
And for me, that's the platinum card.
Right.
And hopefully a centurion card later on. But for you and a lot of people, the simplest card in the world is
it's easy
the
to understand.
Best card for you.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
for me, it's my sucks. Prime card.
For me. It sucks for me. It sucks
yes,
for me.
Yes, yes. That's the little note you have to add whenever you say
it
that.
It sucks.
That's and now I'll add the same note whenever I'm like, Amex Platinum sucks for me, because I wouldn't utilize this.
We agree.
It's kind of like me and John, you know, John Prosser and I, like whenever we meet up and start talking, we pretty much agree on everything. But from afar, it looks like we are complete opposites. When you watch his channel and you watch my channel, they're like, ooh, these guys are on opposite. But then whenever we meet up, we're like, yeah, no, I think the same thing. We're just like...
Well, part of it though is like, our friendship's worth more than me being right about the platinum card. So,
ooh. So our friendship
says,
is worth more than
$550. Right, not you being right, Drew. Not you, him being right. He says, "Me being right about the platinum card is not worth our friendship." It's not worth your stupidity.
Come on, that's not what I meant.
I am so happy that Apple decided to diversify the revenue streams, because it makes our job so much more interesting. When
I can't wait to talk about TV Plus.
When Apple starts moving into these new industries, then suddenly all of these techies that never talk about credit cards suddenly get to open up the gate and say, this is tech talk now because it relates to Apple.
I will start fighting anybody who says an Apple car, not card, a car, is, if it ever comes to fruition, this is better than Tesla. I will meet you in an alleyway somewhere.
I'll be right behind you, Randy.
Because how Nick is about his Amex Platinum is how I am.
Monocle.
That's me with my Model 3.
Something we'll all agree on, I think. It's Apple enters that game, or if they enter that game, we'll just be like, no, you don't stand a chance. Sorry.
If their integration is software-based only, and they put, say, like a higher-end subscription-based CarPlay in Tesla or other cars. CarPlay Plus, and you pay for it. I can see, I'm driving an Apple car, but it's not. It's never going to be an Apple car. It's a Tesla car. But hey, quick question. Do you guys, I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you say Tesla or Tesla? No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Tesla.
Okay, say it again.
I know what question you're asking, and you did say the same thing twice.
No, one sounds more like a Z. Tesla. Or Tesla.
Oh, Tesla? It's Tesla with an S.
It's all in the mind. It's how your mind perceives it.
Do you say...
It's Neuralink. Boom.
Is it Tesla or Tesla?
Tesla.
I said the same thing both times.
Tesla.
But your mind added the Z because it was like, oh, he's asking the Z question. So it perceived it differently.
I don't care what you said. I'm telling you my way. The way Elon says it. With a South African accent.
The real question is, how did the actual Nikola Tesla pronounce it? That's the more important thing, right?
Ooh. Hey, Siri. How did? Oh, never mind. She's not. Oh, she really. Oh, don't. She almost. Never mind. Never mind. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about that later. Apple fan, guys, who's excited for next?
I can't wait to get that new iPhone.
For 25%. Nope, we dropped that.
We're not dropping that.
So
we're moving on.
What features?
We'll never leave the credit card subject.
Did you guys see the Bloomberg report about what to expect at the event? Did you guys see any of those? Okay, so some of the things that we weren't anticipating since the last time we recorded that we were pretty pumped for was cheaper HomePod potentially being unveiled. A recent leak showcased that there's a ceramic Apple Watch coming back, which has been long rumored, but also a titanium model.
I am titanium!
Yeah! Now it's going to do that when you unbox it. Plays that music. And I'm kind of still torn on the inside of whether or not the Series 5 really exists or whether or not this is just going to be a Series 4 and more finishes. But I'd like to hear if you guys think or can imagine features that will be worth it to get the Series 5. Because we're all Series 4 owners.
Yes, sir.
Are you both getting Series 5s, or is this a year to skip?
I think this would be a year to skip.
Same.
Oh. I disagree with both of you?
Okay.
Well, Nick, you just got to buy the stainless steel Series 4 with your Platinum first.
That's my thought. Aside from the credit card joke, which we've promised we're not going to talk about, I am so done with this gold stainless steel Apple Watch.
I
am so done with it. I've regretted it for a good part of this year.
But it looks nice.
I don't like the... I think it looks nice. I think it looks boring.
I hate gold.
Well, we all have different ones. I have aluminium. Drew has stainless, and you have the gold.
But every time I see Drew's watch, I'm like, oh, it looks so nice. Can you show me again, Drew? Please.
No.
I'm still mad.
No, ouch.
No. I want to hear why you want to get the 5. Is it just the finish?
So, regardless whether or not it's the 5 or Series 4 with different colors, I'm getting a new watch. Like,
wow.
If it's the 5, I'll get the 5.
Can I have your gold?
Actually, I'm giving it to my sister. But if you'd like to give her your stainless steel, that's fine. Anyway, she's an equestrian, and so she's always riding horses all by herself. Okay, I had to explain it. People weren't going to understand.
Just, we threw such a curveball.
It threw both me and Randy off.
He's like, oh my god, hear the stainless steel pirouette. Me and Randy were just like, oh, wait a minute, I got to think about.
Yeah. I said that, but,
my sister rides horses bareback on trails all by herself, and so I want her to have a watch that will do falling topic. And you know,
cellular
emergency SOS, cellular and falling. So anyway,
gotcha. Okay,
that's why she's getting my watch, or she could have your watch if you want my.
I might consider that, Nick. I'm thinking about
it. Okay, cool. We'll consider it and over text. But I want a silver watch, whether that is the new titanium watch edition. Or if that's a Series 5
you won't
or
get
Series
the ceramic?
4 stainless steel, I wouldn't get the ceramic. I don't like Why the look that? Of the plastically white ceramic. They'd have to change the... I don't know. I've seen it in store. I've seen it in person. It doesn't look... I don't know. It
Premium?
Looks plasticky. I like the look of a stainless steel or silver watch.
Maybe
I like
I'm
that
worth
look.
It.
It's very timeless.
Yeah. I used to dream about the ceramic. Like, that's the one I've always wanted. But now I don't give a crap. Now I'm like, eh.
Same.
Whatever.
That was me. That was me last
year. I'd rather
year.
Put that money into a Tesla. So
we talked about this last year. I said, we all said, like, oh, I'm going to get the ceramic. I never got the ceramic. And I would fantasize about it because, like, it looks so clean and white. And
Well, back
and
then, a Tesla wasn't as possible.
Tangible?
So, yeah, tangible. Now that we, you know, we moved out of that big office and we're not wasting so much money on rent like we used to be, and I'm putting equity into a house now, and we have a better financial situation. It's like, oh wait, if we play our cards right, a Tesla is not that far away. But back then, a Tesla was like impossible. It was like you can get a Tesla when you win the lottery or something, or in 5 years when the pickup truck comes out, maybe you'll be making a lot more. That was my ideology. But now that we've rearranged our budget, like hell yeah, I'd rather have electric car than a
okay. We were talking
slightly
about
different finish
group.
Watch.
Can we get back?
This to is the Apple event related. It counts. It is. Sorry.
No, I love
that's
it.
My that's my insistent voice. So your argument is you're getting a new watch for the finish alone.
Yes.
And
Randy,
I'm assuming your main reason for skipping is going to be the fact that aesthetically it looks the same and probably functionally won't be that different.
And also because, if y'all remember, I had a Series 0.
That's right.
I went from that to this.
You had a pretty big upgrade.
And it's night and day difference. And I don't look at watches the same way I look at... when I look at phones, I'm really looking at the camera. And I'm looking at the processor. The phone, to me, is more... just like a computer more than anything that I and a camera. I truly now what keeps me with iPhone is the camera. You can't beat the video of the camera, and I will always be a video guy, and I love it. And you can't quick tangent. Last night I was watching the Friday Night Vibe thing, and he was like, oh, it doesn't hold, you know, in a vacuum, the iPhone is worse than the Galaxy Note. No. My argument for that is everything you can always default on for this person, for that person, but
well, I just wanted to make sure everyone knows because Viper
no,
cares
the
a lot
card
about
objectively sucks.
No, you said okay,
you said
Viper.
I know. I'm sorry.
Viper
it was a good joke.
Cares a lot about the picture-in-picture and split-screen multitasking things, and he's been very outspoken about how he wants that to come to the iPhone. I happen to disagree with him on that. I respect his opinion, but I have used Note phones and other Androids in the past that have the split screen and picture-in-picture, and I always find it annoying. The apps are too crammed. I can't use them, and it's annoying. I would much rather just switch back and forth or use an iPad. But he doesn't think that way, so that's why I was just stopping that part.
Right. Okay, No, I got you. It's, again, like with the phone, my first thing I'll look at is the camera. And so I, as much as I know the XS does not – I don't need to upgrade it. It's running – so smooth, drool at the fact that this third lens and the capabilities of what we can do, especially if you can stitch things together. My creative mind starts thinking of all these cool little tricks and techniques I can try out with it. So, for that, I will probably upgrade my phone almost every year. If we were getting another dual lens, I would have stayed with 10S as well, just because, like you, my priorities kind of shift about what I would want to put my money towards. The watch is that for me, because I just need it to tell me the time, play music or podcasts or audiobooks, and track my workout, stuff like that. And the Series Zero was working fine. The battery was dying. And it,
sure.
It, I've had that since, you know, iPhone 6. And so the battery, that tiny little thing, it was just going out. If the battery was still in tip-top, I probably would have kept running that to the ground. Now, with that being said, I would upgrade the... I would get the Series 5 if there is a Series 5. If there was something very substantial in the effect that it would complement what you can do on the iPhone with the camera, instead of just opening it up from your watch and all that, if I can control certain things with the camera, it's something I would consider. But realistically, I only see that really coming to fruition if once they start implementing the Apple, you know, glasses or whatever they're going to do with AR.
Yeah.
I could see the watch playing a bigger role. I will wait until we get that point to upgrade. Until then, I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm very comfortable with. I like this watch. I like the color, and I plan on staying in the space gray ecosystem a little bit longer. Are you going to leave silver? Or are you still staying in silver, Drew?
So my agreement with the iPhone color when it comes to just on its own, not ecosystem wise, but just when it comes to the iPhone color, I will switch away from silver if. Under the conditions that there is a unique new color, and given this iPhone launch is very similar to the 7, with it being mostly about the camera and aesthetically not being that big of an upgrade, but a lot of internal upgrades, if they launch some new unique colors that we don't get every year, basically anything separate from space gray, silver, gold. I've seen those.
So
I don't want those.
The Thanos phone. I see. Okay.
No. If they just did purple and that was it, I probably wouldn't get it. But... I've seen some people talk about like the multicolor phones with the kind of like the Note 10, how in the lighting it changes and shifts.
Oh, iridescence. Yeah.
The iridescence. Yeah. If they did something like that, or if they did a jet black and they went not space gray, but like a solid piano black, I would consider that. Like, or my ideal phone, if Tim Cook contacted me and said, hey, you defend the Apple card so much. I'm so proud of you. What phone do you want? The iPhone Pro? I would say product red. Like product red stainless steel edges.
Or even, what a beautiful color.
I saw this one concept for an Iron Man phone because I love Iron Man. And it had red glass and gold stainless steel. And I was like, calm down.
Aunt Sweeney had to go change his shorts real quick.
But Apple Eye Designer did
shorts.
That concept.
We're recording
once.
A podcast.
Yeah.
It just got weirder. But if, I'm just saying, if they probably wouldn't, but if they did the Iron Man phone, I would probably get that. I just like that look of the gold and red, or just solid red.
Yes.
I would take either one of those, or a jet black, or just something unique.
I would
be willing to switch away from silver.
I think if they brought back slate black again, I would strongly consider that. That was my favorite color on the iPhone 5. That's been my favorite color iPhone-related, period.
Kind of a bluish-black?
Yeah, over the 5C, over the 10R. And I love the colors of the 10R, specifically the blue and the red. And every product red phone is great, with the exception of the 6S. That was that. Or no, that was the 7. The 7.
The 7.
Yeah. Oh, no. That was white
bezel.
And red.
The white face.
I did not like that. But anyway, slate black was my favorite. It's still to this day my favorite iPad that I saw. My favorite iPhone that came out. And I would love to... I would love to get that back. That's
the
sort of thing I would. Otherwise, I agree. I would do something like Iron Man or. I'm curious. Those 7 colors, those 5, whatever we saw with the invitation. I saw what you said, Drew, about the whole like it might just be just art and that's it. But if those are,
it could be colors.
If
it
it's
could
hinting
be,
at the colors, I would really like to see the. The green, because green is one of, as you guys all know, with the Tesla. plug. That's my favorite. that's probably my favorite color, but it has to be done right. If it's like that lime green, forget it. Nope, not interested.
Yeah. I sadly think that's more likely than the green you're talking about.
I agree.
I would be kind of surprised if they did that, but either way, I'm getting a red phone this year because I am still planning on buying the 11R, which I'm referring to it now eventually. I think the naming is going to be iPhone 2019. That's it. So I'll buy the regular iPhone in red, and then if there's only space gray... One? What's that?
The $749 price point one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it's the same, okay. If it's the same price, hopefully. The successor to the 10R, that one I'll get in red, because I got blue last year because I like blue, but then every time I saw red 10R, I always thought it looked really cool. So I was like, okay, next year I'm definitely getting the red 11R or whatever they'll call it. And then if it's just space gray, silver, and gold for the pro models, then I'll get silver. I'll keep it the same. I don't need space gray or gold. And
interesting.
That'll be a good cash back day for me.
Yes, sir. I like these under the belt jabs you're taking at Nick. I love it.
When I have an iPhone that I own free and clear that I got without spending a single, you know, dollar of my own money, I get that they were points.
Yes, yes,
I get that. Yes. I'm going to rub that in your face so hard, Drew.
If it happens.
Every single episode, I'm going to be like, but does Apple Card give you an iPhone?
Yes. The true Apple sheep financially support Apple.
That's funny.
They actually...
That's funny.
No, we promise. We got to stop.
We're done.
No, but...
Anything else at the event?
Wait, what?
Cheaper HomePod? Oh. Did you guys have thoughts on that? Is there a price point they would have to be at to persuade you?
Honestly, I'd just rather they just lower the price of the actual HomePod. That's it.
Well, they did that a little.
No. We talked about it. It's still above what I value it to be, what it's worth to me.
Have you heard anything about the trackers? The tracker devices they're rumored to launch?
Those are the most interesting
things. Those tiles? It's going to be interesting. Yeah. If it really does, you can also, you know, find your wallet, find this. I'm guessing that...
I'm waiting for someone to stick it on their AirPods.
I think it's going to be something like this. I think it's going to be a card that you could put in your wallet the same way that you could put in...
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I feel
it's the Apple Card!
Dang it, but not in denim.
Drew, that's such a good idea. Oh, wow.
No, my credit card's been stolen. Oh, that's okay. It's on 1, 2, 3.
Here it is. Yeah.
It's right next
There's
to
no
Best
battery.
Buy.
I don't think it would work.
I know.
But
I know
still, I want to see those things because I would definitely get at least one for my keys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I...
Do you either of you have any little tile trackers?
No.
I used to. I had two, and then the batteries died, and I never bothered to replace them. because I didn't lose my keys anymore.
I don't use keys anymore. I've converted my phone as
Randy.
Flex harder, Randy. Harder.
So there's this app called Tesla, and... and then you got I feel like if I give away too much out loud, I'm going to compromise some security. But my phone is my only key, and if I lose my phone, I have not only bigger problems to deal with, but that's not going to happen. That means I'm getting robbed. Hey, random question, guys. Do you put anything in your back pockets?
No.
Yes, sir. What? iPhone and wallet.
What?
Your what?
Yep.
No wonder you've had to replace iPhone your iPhone wallet. So many times.
You see how Nick just throws his phone?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
The last time you were here, you were just slapping that thing all over the place.
Remember when he threw his AirPods so hard on the ground? Nick is the most animated guy I've ever met.
Those were officially old.
They were old by 20 seconds, because I just handed you the new ones. You're like,
Oh, Nick.
Please don't do that with your Apple Watch.
Please.
I did some sad math the other day.
Okay.
And I added up every single dollar that Apple has given me through AppleCare in the past 12 months. And I've also added up how many dollars I've spent with Apple in the last 12 months.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, neither of those numbers are very happy. I spent over $7,000. I'm sorry. Apple gave me over $7,000. With free repairs, AppleCare covered, device swaps,
keyboard replacements. Customer.
I know, right? I'm surprised they just still keep me around.
They should have an Ann Sweeney fee.
Exactly. And I've only spent $4,000-something at Apple. Mm. So they have given me much more. That I'm the reason why AppleCare now costs $199. I'm very sorry, everyone.
We're just going to blame you now.
Yes.
This was all on Nick.
Tim Cook gets up on stage and has been like, due to some very...
They have your picture on the screen. They like press the button. The big Nick Ann Sweeney in the queue.
Nick with his bow tie.
From this man.
AppleCare now costs $499.
This is his fault.
His fault.
Pull it up in the clicker.
Hey, would you guys... I already have my choice on this, but would you upgrade to the new iPad if it comes out?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Go for it.
Because there's been rumors about that, about a 2019 mm-hmm. iPad Pro now, which is throwing off the lineup. And I don't think I would.
Me neither.
I don't think so. I think the current ones, which are almost a year old now, are still way too current. They're way too new. And anything they could add to the new ones would be, for the most part, unnecessary. From what I've heard, it's like triple camera, which I'm getting via new iPhone, and most of my video is on the new iPhone. It would be nice to have a triple camera on the iPad, but it would it's easy to say it would get much less use than the one on my phone, just because I use it for vlogging, and I have to put it in my gimbal, and the iPad can't go in my gimbal, so that's not going to work. And there's a chance they could launch like an A13X chip that's even faster than the A13. But I imagine since it's only a year since the last chip, it's likely not going to be substantially faster than the A12X. If it is faster, it's just a little.
Yeah.
I doubt it would be massive. And even if it was massive, like what difference would it make?
Honestly, I think all that resourcing would be like if they're going to triple lens, better AR. I don't use AR on the iPad, so it doesn't matter for me. And I don't.
You can't sell me on AR until the glasses are out, honestly. If AR requires me to hold up a phone or an iPad, it's not that interesting.
I agree. I think, and when it comes to the camera, 100% of any videos I've ever shot on the iPad was done on this camera, the front-facing one, because that's what I would use it for. I like having a live monitor playback thing I can look at, and it's not cameras on the iPad, not because it's ugly and it fits that weird stuff. It's just for me, it's not practical as a content creator or even as like little home videos. I'm trying to record something. It's so much easier to have mobility with the phone, and I feel like we as a community who uses Apple stuff, the iPad doesn't have the purpose of needing cameras like that on the back. I care more about the cameras on the front if it's going to improve Face ID. I care about the camera on the front if we can have better FaceTime. And I just everything that has to do with on the front side, I feel like I treat it like a laptop replacement.
Right.
I don't care about the camera on the back. If you took the camera on the back and you put it on the front, okay, then we can have a conversation, but I have no interest of the camera on the back. It's just dead space for me. And if we get the new iPad that comes out with triple lens, and it's all AR this and something else that, I'm thinking like, is it hurting the battery more now because it's doing more things? This iPad is amazing. I love it. And much like the Apple Watch, I don't upgrade iPads every year or every other year. I will probably run them to the ground until it's time to upgrade them, the same way with my iMac.
Yeah. I'm very curious for the 10.2-inch to finally come, but I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
I'm interested. And if they do unveil a new iPad Pro, either this event or the October event or something, then I'll be interested. It'll probably be good for kind of how we talk about, you know, upgrading year for year for iPhones isn't that substantial, but there's a lot of people that are still on the 7 or the 8 or the 6S, and they're upgrading this year, and for them it's a good idea. That's why...
Right.
It's a flawed argument to say, like, why don't they only do iPhones every other year so that the updates can be more substantial? It's like you're not taking into consideration the people that aren't on the same phone you are.
Right.
So it makes sense for them to release new iPhones every year, even if you're not upgrading every year. You could apply sort of that same logic to the iPad. Maybe there's people who haven't got the new 2018 Pros yet, but they're thinking about it, and now they'll have a better thing in its place, I guess. So good for that. Maybe they're reinforcing the aluminum to make it less flex.
Yeah.
Because all the people at the Apple Card are just going to be flexing too much on their iPads.
Oh.
So I should do a bend test on this thing.
Oh, are you willing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. You can just replace it.
Yeah, it's a free replacement.
That's right.
Everyone gets a free bend test.
My hidden contender that would come into play, hi, Nick. He just bent. Oh, my goodness. Yep, there it goes.
I'm bending my platinum card.
Okay. Well, now we know.
For the podcast.
Thank you for the
platinum card bends.
You saw it here first, podcast. He did it. Hey, Nick, don't forget to send a photo of that and put it on the handle. Just
do
tweet
that
out.
Do you think it's put on some like unspoken record when they're considering you for the Centurion? It's like, how many replacement platinum cards have we had to send?
That's fine.
It's okay. That's my old platinum card. That's not my current one.
So, you sneaky you. I'm trying to be family friendly here. So, hey,
thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Here's what we'll do, or here's what I'll do. I think you guys will probably do this too. Mm-hmm. I'm making a bet. If they drop over the ear headphones for like AirPod Pro or whatever,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I wish they would. I am buying that so quick. For a fact, I am. If they announce accessories and anything has to do with audio and over the ear, you guys will. I will pre-order. I'm gonna throw some. I don't care if it's. I will do it because that I've been waiting so long. We've been talking about this for as long as I can remember. Now, I'm so excited for this, and I feel like it's one of those. We have one more thing. And, no, I don't think it doesn't merit a one more thing, but it'd be really cool to finally get that. Otherwise, if they just have AirPod Pro, because I'm still on the Series 1 or Gen 1 or whatever they call it, I might do it. I'm indifferent. I think I'm purposely in the back of my head not doing anything with headphones because I'm waiting for the over-the-ear Beats competitor, and that would be that's the most exciting thing I'm waiting for, you know, praying that we get it this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of rumors for it lately. It's kind of not encouraging, but I remember seeing them a while back. They've all kind of gone quiet, but whatever the pro version of the high-end version of the AirPods they launch, if there's any new AirPods, I'll be getting them. They're cheap, and I use them so much that I don't even if they make them more expensive. Like, people were like, $200 for AirPods. I'm like, yeah, they're amazing.
It's worth the value for sure.
They're to worth me, way more.
It's subjective, of course, to everyone, but yeah. For me, I would gladly spend $300 on AirPods if they were matte black and they had, I don't know, new features or better sound quality or something.
I have friends who are diehard Samsung, like never Apple hashtag people, and they own AirPods. And they will say, I'm like, wait a minute, the Samsung has their own little, and they're like, no, it's not the same. And I'm like, you don't have Siri. And they're like, it doesn't what I need it to. They're like, I just put it in and I forget it's in my ear and the battery's amazing and they love it. They're like, Apple did it right. And I'm like, how does it work for Android? I mean, I know how it works for Android, but it's like, why wouldn't you just never Apple the headphones as well? And like, they like what they like, and they're just like, yeah.
Very popular.
They are so popular that I would wager that we are definitely going to see more AirPod configurations. And they're going to be cross-platform friendly, and we're going to see, because they're making so much money off of those things that it's not an if. We will get multicolor eventually. We will get all these features, but I truly think that's going to happen because I don't think Apple was even expecting it to be as successful a year later, but it was, and that's the power of Apple, I guess. I don't know. It just works.
That's the power of convenience. Yeah. That's what I always tell people.
We don't need innovation. We need compromise.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. No, that's it. Because I always tell people that when they complain about AirPods, or there's AirPods killers because these are cheaper, or they sound better, or these have better noise canceling, or these have better audio performance, or these have better battery lives. All of that falls behind if the convenience factor doesn't beat out AirPods. That's what Apple's always bet their investments on, is convenience, making things simple, making things easy to understand.
And that's, I think, why they have the success that they do. Are there cheaper headphones? Of course. Are there cheaper headphones that maybe even sound better? Probably. I keep seeing those YouTubers promote those headphones that are always like, and they're half the price of other wireless earbuds. Like, I always see that. I'm like, they don't have the convenience. That's why they're not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if AirPods 3 comes out, or third generation, whatever they call it, I'm definitely getting them, especially if they come in a matte black or something. That would be dope.
I want to give you credit on something, Drew.
Thank you.
I haven't done it yet.
I'm pre-think.
Yeah. During my time, I'll just get to the punchline. I am now a display file. Is that what you called it?
No.
Well, what? I didn't call it display. Did I? I may have. My new term was card file.
No, not yes. Card. I
points and mileage. Changed. Get your pack straight.
I don't know when it happened. It happened during our break, but I became obsessed with smooth frame rates. And
I knew it. I knew it.
Wait.
No. I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
Yeah. I am so obsessed now. I will film things in 60 frames, and like, for example, that doesn't mean I'll export it at 60 frames, though, Nick. Right?
But 24 FTW.
All my raw videos are 4K 60 frames, and I did something. I think in Final Cut or I don't remember. I was doing something, and when I looked at it, I went, and it was when I was in Texas. That's what happened. I was in Texas. Okay. I was filming bats. Okay. And if you film at,
as one does,
when you film, or when you start filming at 1080, you have 10 times zoom.
Right.
But 4K is 6 times zoom.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, that's trash. Why would I use 4K? So I was doing an internal test for myself, and I recorded the two, and then on my phone, I was punching in and trying to look at the quality. And when I zoomed in, and 60 frames, both of these were done at 60 frames because I was trying to get the wings of the bats flying around. When I saw the difference between the two, especially on 4K, even though it was only at 6 times zoom, it was all optical. And I looked at it, I was like, it clicked. And at that point, I was like, I have a frame rate issue now, and all I want is higher frame rates for everything.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know when it clicked for me, but I understand the aesthetic of having 24 frames or 30 frames for like traditional film, but I have more fun having this lifelike buttery smooth, or you call it peanut butter, which makes no sense, but okay. But it's so smooth.
I have my chunky peanut butter, and it's not super smooth.
I'm sold on that. And
cool.
The reason why I brought that up is because I'm thinking that, like, if we get wide angle 60 frame 4K on the next iPhone, I'm going to have,
it's
gonna
be such a great vlogging cam.
It's gonna be so cool. You're competing with GoPros at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll have that GoPro like immersion, because that's a big issue with vlogging right now with the rear facing cameras. Usually people get too close, or they're just too close to the face anyway. But when you vlog, if you watch professional vloggers, the kind that film with DSLRs, most of the time they're using pretty ultra wide angles. So adding that this year is going to be super helpful for me in my vlogging on Taylor's Talk.
More
so
professional content.
And if you can punch in, like if it's like this far away and post, because one of the things that's rumors, like you can adjust after filming and you can just, I'm so excited. And I feel like you only get the flexibility like this to its extreme if you film in 60 frames, because you can choose to export in 30 or anything else. But if I can film in the most rawest and capture the most data with it, I understand for me now the value of being able to work with more, whether I need it or not. I like the option of having it there. So I have been filming 4K 60 for the last like 2 months, and I'm in frame rate heaven. So I'm giving you credit for it, because I never gave it much thought. And so I kept thinking, like, why does Drew like it so much? I'm an audiophile. Nick's a card file, and Drew's all about the frame rate. So, yeah.
I would go as far as to say, I may regret this later, but I would go as far as to say, if YouTube supported 120 FPS, and more phones were switching to 120 hertz, and maybe YouTube updated the iPad app so that it would support 120, I would consider it. I would consider switching my tech vids, like, long before I would switch to 8K or 6K. I don't give a crap about that, because the human eye can't tell the difference on the majority of the devices people are watching my videos on. I don't think that many people are watching my videos on 70-inch screens. Most of the time, they're not. Most of the time, it's tablet, phone, computer. 8K doesn't matter in that point. 4K goes above and beyond what the standard is. And frame rate wise, though, I am a huge frame rate junkie, so I would love it to be like one of the first YouTubers that officially switches to 120 FPS. And most people probably won't even notice or care, but I will.
Take
and
that,
I will like
Marquez.
It.
Please come on our show.
You can have your pixels. I'll have my frames.
Hey, you know, enjoy them. Real talk though, for a second, YouTube does this weird recommended thing where I was getting like old recommendations of Marquez's videos, and
that
I
was
watched
everybody. Yeah,
I was watching iPhone 5S first impressions, yes. And it looked like it was shot today. Like, yeah. Okay, credit to Marquez for always having the high pixel density like that. Because like, okay,
HD.
It's nice. It's
absolutely
just nice. But
I'm so proud of Marquez. I mean, we did this podcast,
show.
And he was
so proud of this community.
He was so inspired by our podcast that he started doing his own while we were gone.
Yeah. To fill the void. Our podcast so much.
I think that was mostly because we stopped doing it. So I think it's fair that we ask for royalties, but you know, that's a different discussion. 50% would be perfectly fair in my
Yeah,
opinion.
I think that's fair. Yeah, that's 100% fair.
Right, split down the middle, just because no one
we're not
was doing
Disney,
podcasts
okay.
before
Gosh.
Us.
We're but you, okay, but now, Good Marquez, relevant. We're back, so you can stop now.
Yeah, you don't have to keep going.
Please.
We're back. I know you were pumped,
Come back.
But 50% makes total sense. I mean, no one did podcasts before us. We invented
exactly.
That form of media. I can't. I like name one podcaster before Talos of Tech started.
Never. Not. Can't.
Definitely
impossible.
Not Renee Ritchie.
No.
Impossible.
That's Vector. That's different.
That's different. And you're wrong.
This
We're
is sarcasm.
Right.
There's some idiots out there.
Yeah. No. Complete sarcasm. Hey. But so yeah, we. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say earlier we were talking about these tariffs, and I want to talk about that because I have some opinions about it.
Okay.
Oh, Randy, we're I had a way better transition. This was going to be my transition. Drew,
okay, go ahead.
You know you're getting 3% back on your Apple Watch purchase. You know what you won't be getting? A 15% reduction.
No. But to be fair, no one... Sadly, Apple is going to have a big hit on those profits because of this new tariff.
It's
already been in effect.
The price up.
By the time... by the time people are listening to this, it's already gone into effect. So if Apple has raised the prices and you're listening to this, that sucks. I hope that doesn't happen. Do you think that's
Should've
possible?
Should have bought an Apple Watch right now.
It's,
I sure hope not.
I don't. I think.
You think Apple
will
just absorb?
I think they already. I think they will absorb this year. I think they
okay.
will.
I hope so.
The success of the 10R has, I think, really made them. See the value in the mid tier ish, and I don't think it's worth it for them to lose potential sales by raising their prices to meet the tariffs. I feel like that's something they can afford to eat the cost this time, and then next year when they have. Because, like you said, this is just now about to go into effect. So, one, that tells me every company has always had a plan for this at some point, and it's mostly maybe just raising costs. But if it's about to happen now, I think it would make more sense to give yourself a year to adjust after the success of this phone and this lineup and everything that's service related rolling out, you can afford to eat the cost for hardware when you're changing your business model to be subscription and services based. And that's where they're going to save a lot of the money. I feel like this year they'll keep it as this just to gauge. And if they see like it's kind of eating into our profits a little bit, then I can see them making an adjustment. And that's fair. They're a business. Mm-hmm. They don't owe us that luxury, I guess is what I would call it.
Right,
they are
a
for-profit company for products, services, and goods. And I don't blame them if they have to raise the cost because it's what you do to stay afloat and, you know, keep growing as a company. So I don't blame if that happens. But I can see where if now they're moving to service-based, I don't know if it would bother them all that much. But I'm basing that off of the fact that the 10R was so successful, and I think it's because of the cost of it. So,
true.
Those are my thoughts.
I think they'll meet somewhere in the middle. I think you're right that they'll probably keep the prices the same this year, just because now is a pretty bad time to raise prices on phones, especially when this is not a substantial upgrade.
Right.
It's not that noticeable. It's not physically that different. But there are a lot of talks about how the 2020 iPhones are going to be implementing a lot of new things that may even make it look different, or adding promotion or just doing a bigger upgrade next year potentially, that I can understand them not necessarily raising the price of iPhones, but like Renee always said, they make more expensive iPhones. They're making an iPhone with more features and better features that warrant a price raise in it. I don't think it will completely offset the 15%, but they'll probably meet somewhere in the middle at like a slightly more expensive iPhone so that the profit margin is a little bit better. But, probably, yeah, this is going to be a hard hit for them. 15% doesn't sound like a lot, but in the grand scheme of iPhone sales, that's quite a bit. So that's potentially billions of dollars we're talking about just from that tariff. So, yeah, I hope they keep the prices the same from a consumer point of view if they have to raise them. I get it from a company point of view. As a tech reviewer, I'm buying them regardless, so it doesn't matter. But
it's part of your job,
Yeah, it sucks for the everyday folk. I completely agree.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nick?
I couldn't hear either of you. Okay. I could see both of you, but I couldn't hear either of you.
For this whole podcast.
Well, yes, this whole podcast. I said, do you have any thoughts? Nick, what are your thoughts on this? Cut this out and post.
What are your thoughts on this? Bends MX card in half.
I'm sad to see... just bent it, okay? Yeah. I'm sad to see, you know, tariffs and... You know, at the end of the day, a tariff is a tax on the country the tariff originates from. And I'm sad that I'm going to have to pay 15% more for a device. Whether or not that's coming out of Apple's profit margin is kind of irregardless because...
They're already
Apple's
paying 200%
been,
on you.
Yeah, well... Ouch. But but Apple has always been very defensive over their profit margin. It's never really varied from under 30%. It's always been between 30, 36, normally about 32, 36.
Yeah.
30, you know, somewhere in the high to mid 30s. And I hope that they don't raise prices on us, but I could definitely see them raising prices on us.
Yeah,
as soon as the tariff becomes a more permanent thing, because I think right now there's still a lot of talks going on and discussions. And I know Tim Cook went to the White House the other week or whatever, and so like I'm sure they're trying to work the problem. And I don't think they'll raise any prices until it's kind of like, okay, this is, you know.
Do you
for the
think
next
they'll raise the prices
years,
this year or next year?
I think they'll do it whenever it's finalized. Like.
And they're sure they can't.
Sometime in like January or something, it'll just be like, oh, by the way, everything costs 15% more now. But
that'll be rough.
And they'll, I don't know. Maybe they'll wait for, you know, an event or something. But I if we got booze on the Pro Display XDR monitor stand, then I don't want to be the executive who has to say, and by the way, everything we sell is now 15% more.
What would that look like on iPhones? Would that be like a. That'd be like $100 more across the board.
Yeah, that'd be $150 more across the board.
Let me ask you guys a scenario-based question.
Okay, and then we'll wrap up.
The phones that we have today, not what we're... Because we don't know what the features are going to be for the phone in you know, this year. But the phones we have today, what was... And yeah, hindsight can be applicable here. But what was the max price you were willing to pay?
$2,000.
Really?
Yeah, probably around $2,000.
I've said that. I've had that number for a long time, actually. Back.
Okay, Drew, you had it first. Fine.
No. I remember having that number in my head, like back when the iPhone 7 came out. I remember thinking, people are getting annoyed that phones are getting more expensive, but they don't realize like how much we use them. We use them more than any of these products. Like, I think they get more use than our iPads, than our Macs, than our AirPods. Like, these things are such an integral part of our lives that they could honestly charge way more, and people would be willing to pay it because of how important that phone is to our lives. Now, more people are probably willing to compromise and get the cheaper model now, so that makes sense. But in just regards to the people who want the best iPhone, the amount of use they get out of it is well more than what we all complain about them being expensive. I'm sure there's some people listening that are like, no, I don't like any phone over $1,000. Any phone, $1,100, that's ridiculous. It's like, you're not, like Warren Buffett made comments about, he has a private jet and an iPhone, and he would rather give up the private jet than his iPhone. Like, that's how valuable that is to his lifestyle. And that's a billionaire. That's the guy who doesn't care about money. He's like, no, I need that.
He's actually very eccentric about money, like to the penny how much he pays to things.
Right. Yeah. So that's that was my number for a long, long time, and it still holds true. Like, if the iPhone costed over $2,000, that's when I would start considering compromising. Of like, okay, do I need that one? Maybe I'll get the cheaper one. But until then, I'm always getting the Pro OLED model, the big one, the bigger screen with the best camera. Yeah, until they hit 2K, and maybe my financial situation will be different by then. So who knows? maybe I'll be willing to buy.
Subscribe to us on YouTube.
Talosive Tech. For those of you who didn't know, we started a YouTube channel. I'll be uploading videos there.
It has potential. Yeah, it has some real potential.
Maybe we'll see. Maybe, I don't know.
Whoever's editing it needs to work harder.
That's true. Very good point. But guys, it's been a great pilot return. It's been a fantastic episode. It's been fun chatting with you all. It's been real. Woo! And I can't wait to chat again next week. So thank you all for listening.
Series 3
is back in effect. Expect that red dot everywhere. So thank you all for listening. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.